and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the snowy suburbs of Chicago. We had our first real snowfall this morning in my particular suburb. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. That is K-A-R-L-S-T-R-O-M. He is an emeritus professor of geography, recently retired from California State University, and is now living in Colorado. He is the author of many scholarly articles in national and international scientific journals. His academic research has been in the fields of soils, landforms, landscape evolution, and natural climate change. He currently maintains 5 websites, naturalclimatechange.us, waterwatchalliance.us, 911nwo.com, which stands for New World Order, erickarlstrom.com, where you can hear him play his guitar, and mywebsiteplus.com. All righty, that's a lot of websites. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Deanna. It's nice to be talking to you again. Yeah, the latest website is my attempt to put all of the materials on all of my other websites on that website and go over to a format that I can actually edit myself. And it hasn't happened yet, but I hope in the next couple weeks. So, but anyway, yeah, that's a lot of websites. And after 9-1-1, I realized, of course, I think as anybody would who thinks critically that the scenario presented to us was bogus, and in fact we were victims of a mind control operation in 9-1-1, and we still are today. And so I plumbed the depths of that topic, I think, and mostly solved it, although the technical aspects of it are difficult to solve because the military technology, I think, is about 60 years ahead of us. And so we speculate a lot. And then I got into the natural climate change versus man-caused global warming issue, and then that gets into the geoengineering and chemtrails, which is geoengineering in particular is also related to mind control and directed energy, as was the 9-1-1 operation. And now, most recently, I've been working for the last year on the topic of mind control itself, which I think is really a difficult subject to enter because it is so odious, so evil, and yet the documentation is out there. I've got many, many books that I've read and researched on this. So in any academic research study, the first thing you do is literature research. And you assemble what's already been known and what's already been determined. And I just, in my most recent articles on this topic, which are going to be posted on my new website, I simply summarize what's in these other books. So I'm not jumping out into any new territory. I'm trying to catch up. And indeed, it turns out that we've been in a country where mind control has been in operation all our lives.
Exactly. All right, take a breath. I'm going to take a drink of kombucha here, and we'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. And so you've been very busy just putting up websites. And, I kind of really enjoyed your guitar music. It's very nice.
Thank you.
That was a hidden talent that you hadn't revealed before.
Well, yeah. In fact, I'm doing a lot on banjo these days. I've been playing guitar and banjo since I was, in high school and junior high even. And it's always been a hobby. So now that I'm retired, that's The other main project I have, I've got about 16 CDs now that I've made. Just finished two, just came out, that are my favorites, of course. And then another two with a lot of banjo are coming out next year. So this is how I try to stay sane, and I think it works pretty well.
Good.
You can't be in a bad mood and play banjo.
We all need something that will help us to have grounding and some sort of a foundation, because we talk about so many disturbing negative things and topics, and just talking about the evil that is going on all around us could make us, rather depressed. And so I think it's good to have something that you can do that makes you happy and keeps us, in a different perspective just to make us feel better. I mean, without resorting to drugs or alcohol or something like that.
Yeah, well, music, of course, is an extremely interesting topic because it really can elevate the spirit and really pull it down. And it has been used, speaking of mind control, as a way to pull down the spirit. And this is my way. I have a few gospel songs on my latest CD. This is my way of trying to kind of use music in a positive sense. I think music is very magical. I think music starts where words leave off. And but I think that there is yes, you have a responsibility as a musician, because you can easily depress your audience or lift them up, So that's what I try to do.
Right. And music does have the ability to speak to our hearts and to our natural rhythms. As you say, some music has been used in a negative way, and some music that makes us feel very patriotic is just one of those ways that are really kind of deceptive, because they get us to feeling all warm and fuzzy about things that like warfare and such, that we ought to be asking questions about.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll just launch into this topic from this angle, Deanna. I've just read a very interesting, exceptional series of articles by a guy named David McGowan, who lives down in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. We've had him on the program several times.
Have you had him on?
Yeah. He's a very interesting person.
Okay, that's wonderful. Yeah, he's got a series about Laurel Canyon, which was the kind of the home of the American rock scene in the 60s. The folk rock scene with the Byrds and Buffalo Springfield and the Doors and all kinds of bands like that. Well, he's a very entertaining writer, but eventually if you wade through it, you realize, oh, this whole thing was an intelligence operation from the British, Tavistock Institute, actually, by way of CIA and American intelligence. All of the principal rock musician stars were sons and daughters of military intelligence people. And the implication is that many of these, if not all, certainly some, were themselves victims of mind control. And the government, even then, back in the 1947, the Navy started Project Chatter, and then 1950, the CIA started Project Bluebird, I believe, and then Artichoke, and then MKUltra came in 1953. And then there have been so many different programs, all extremely secret, even more secret than the Manhattan Project. But the information is out there now. And isn't it wild that the heroes of the 60s so-called counterculture movement were themselves intelligence operatives, and that the hippie movement was actually created to discredit the anti-Vietnam War movement? And I was there. This was my generation, And
yeah, you were playing your guitar and smoking weed. Is that what you're saying?
I was absolutely. Yeah, I didn't actually like smoking weed that much. I certainly tried it my freshman year. A lot of my friends did it. But I started with the folk music scene with Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul and Mary. And then about 65 or 4 in came the Byrds and the folk rock, and then the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the hard rock. And I watched it all go from, hootenannies to these incredible acid rock concerts where everybody's stoned out of their mind. Turns out the CIA was passing out massive doses of LSD at these concerts, free. And it was a mass mind control experiment. I mean, if you look at Woodstock or you look at Altamont rock festivals, the conditions were quite squalid. And these kids were not sleeping, and they were on drugs. And there were even murders at the Altamont by the Hell's Angels, even one ritual murder. So we get into some very dark, satanic stuff when we talk about mind control. And that's why I'm singing gospel songs, because we need some spiritual fortification to even go there, because it doesn't take long to realize that the CIA itself is and has been a cult of creating splitting personalities through trauma-based torture, including every possible means, including sexual molestation of children, and then creating mind-controlled slaves. And they have been doing this since 1950 in the Bluebird Project. In fact, there's an excellent book by a psychiatrist by the name of Colin Ross, who has a book called Bluebird, Deliberate Creation of Multiple Personality by Psychiatrists. And he goes through the 147 different sub-projects, or 149, I guess, of MKUltra, which was the main CIA-sponsored mind control project between 1953 and 1963, and some 185 institutions in this country were used, including something like 85 universities and top hospitals and jails, prisons, and you name it.
The right. Top well, you know, the whole, I'm sorry, but the whole women's movement was CIA-backed and directed by Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan, which was along the same lines, and certainly started at about the same time in the early 60s, because those two women helped to establish the National Organization for Women in 1966. So they're very yep. well coordinated.
Yeah, we need to understand that, and I've got several books by Dr. John Coleman, who's a MI6 or MI5 ex-operative and PhD in political science. The best one, the two of them are the best, is the Committee of 300, a Conspirators Hierarchy, and the other one is the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. And he talks about the Tavistock Institute as being the world's brainwashing center. And he says that it was formed in World War I with the best psychiatrists in the world, including Sigmund Freud. And the chart, it came out of the British Army Psychological Warfare Division, headed by John Rawlings Rees. And he says in here that the goal of the Tavistock after World War II was the destruction of the United States. So the whole name of the book is The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, Shaping the Moral, Spiritual, Cultural, Political, and Economic Decline of the United States of America.
Of course, that started long before, following World War II. That was it started with the so-called Civil War.
Oh, you're right, of course. Yeah, this is a long, long-term plan. And we can talk about the Frankfurt School in Germany, with Kurt Lewin, who infiltrated into this country, many, many different spin-off organizations from Tavistock and from the Frankfurt School, but all with the object of destroying this country. And, unbeknownst to we, the people who live in this country, and, of course, they then become important figures in politics and in academics and in entertainment. And according to many, many of the articles you can get now on the web, some very, very prominent figures, not only in entertainment and athletics, but also politics, are themselves victims of this horrific kind of mind control, where they themselves are really reduced to robots or zombies. They've lost their free will. Marilyn Monroe supposedly was the first presidential model. She had absolutely no life of her own because she was fractured into different multiple personalities that could be triggered and used. The beta sex kitten portion could be used to, to please the presidents. And now various other women have come forward and recovered their memories and written books about this. One, of course, is Bryce Taylor.
Yeah,
it's a very high-level one.
That article about her on Henry Macau today?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Kind of gruesome.
Yeah, and Carol Ruiz, same thing. Oh, this stuff is very horrific, and you almost can't believe that these women went through this. And, of course, it does involve multi-generational Satanist families and pedophiles who take advantage of their own children and then wind up selling them to the CIA, who would go ahead and improve, I guess, on the training. And then they would all have their handlers, and they would be used as things like, again, sex slaves or information couriers or some males, Manchurian candidates, assassins, like the Bourne Identity movie, which I just watched again last night for fun.
Right. All right.
I hear some music.
We are going to a real quick break. We will be right back with our guest today, Dr. Eric Carlstrom. Dr. Eric Carlstrom. His websites are, actually, they will all be linked on in the archives and on my page today for this date, but naturalclimatechange.us and waterwatchalliance.us, 9/11 New World Order, or NWO.com. Let's get back to this. You were talking about handlers, and you were talking about Marilyn Monroe. And I believe that her handler was her psychiatrist, a Dr. Greenson, and she also, and he was supposedly affiliated with Peter Lawford, and she was on all kinds of barbiturates. And when I think about her situation, it also, of course, because of the situation that occurred on the 14th of December, it brings us to the shooting in Connecticut, the possibility, of course, that Adam Lanza was some sort of a Manchurian candidate, or he was simply a patsy, while others went in and actually did the shooting with rifles because he actually didn't have a rifle, and apparently all the bullets, all the deaths, if there were indeed deaths, were caused by the rifles.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why I was hoping we could do this interview now, right after that shooting, because, of course, always the problem, reaction, solution, and the reaction, of course, the guys on the left say we need to have gun control, take all the guns away, and, you know, remove the Second Amendment rights. And the guys on the right, like the National Rifle Association, say we need armed guards in the schools. Now, the NRA guy, LaPierre, I believe, I saw him on TV, he made an interesting comment. He says, you know, there are lots of people out there who are crazy and hear voices in their heads. Well, he's absolutely right. Those voices are directed by our taxpayer money, government-sponsored mind control programs. And I personally agree that chances are very high that, that as you say, the Sandy Hook shooting massacre, one of a whole string of them, you notice, I'd say probably all or most of them have to do either with the occult or with CIA mind control, and there's no line separating them, because
don't you think too, Dr. Carlstrom, that the pharmaceutical drugs play a real large part in all of this? Because when we see some of these people that have been involved in shootings and whatnot, there seems to be that medication factor in there, and maybe the reason that people are hearing voices isn't necessarily due to strict mind control, but the combination of mind control with pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, let me just way back up. 1953, Alan Dulles authorized the MK Ultra project. Just before authorizing it, he made this comment to some of his colleagues at Princeton. Speaking before the National Meeting of Princeton Alumni, Alan Dulles distinguished two fronts of the then-current battle for men's minds, a first front of mass indoctrination through censorship and propaganda, the media, etc., and a second front of individual brainwashing and brain-changing. In the MKUltra documents, there were two main subheadings, A, chemical and biological warfare, and LSD and, 20,000 other drugs were tested very scientifically by top scientists at top universities for their toxic effects and their effects on the brain. And so a lot of the biological and chemical warfare that we've seen, like, the Fort Detrick, Maryland, anthrax, et cetera, a lot of this came out of that time period. Well, the second section was electronic mind control, psychotronic. And by 1960, the shift the scientists had realized they'd explored so much of the chemical and biological, they realized the payoff was in psychotronics or electronic mind control. And Jose Delgado, the Harvard brain scientist, said this is the future. We can control people through electronics. Of course, you cannot see the electronic radiation being beamed around, but of course, radiation comes in different wavelengths and frequencies. And we've had now, eight decades of research on this at our different universities by top scientists. And the effects.
Of course, look at the addiction to television, and certainly that.
Absolutely.
That's brainwashing op right there.
Yeah, exactly. Just by sitting down in front of the television, it puts you in kind of a stupor state, and that's intended.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think it's quite possible. Back in the 50s and 60s, scientists figured out that they could project voices into your head and bypass the ear mechanism entirely so that you just think you hear a voice. Well, this has very interesting implications with the New Age movement and all these people who think they've been channeling all these deities and whatever's up there. Well,
there's also subliminal messages that they can instantaneously put on the screen, whether you're watching TV or going to a movie, that makes suggestions, like, go buy popcorn or go kill somebody or whatever.
Yeah. This is a vast subject, and I do not claim to be, after a year. It took me a year to write this article because the subject is so evil. And yeah. I do not claim to be an expert. But I would say this is where we have to put our energy. Because
sure.
This is how they intend to bring in the New World Order.
All righty. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. And the websites are naturalclimatechange.us, waterwatchalliance.us, 911nwo.com, ericcarlstrom.com, and mywebsiteplus.com. Okay, got them all. Five.
Good job. You're getting pretty quick and expeditious about that.
That's because I'm taking some supplements that are...
mind supplement.
All righty. Now, you indicated, of course, that you talked about TV and we've talked about movies and subliminal messaging and whatnot. So you'd have to say that the media and Hollywood have a great, huge, they participate in this mind control situation. And we know that that the media is very much under the control of just a few people. So would you say that the media and the people that control it have a great deal are kind of in charge of this mind control operation?
Well, of course, this is a very important question about, who's behind it all, and I think both of us have done enough research so that we have identified small groups that are, and we can call them the Illuminati, I guess, or we can call them Zionists, or we can call them different things, but there's many different strategies for bringing in the New World Order, the One World Government, this utopian, dystopian empire that they have envisioned for us and have been working so diligently on for so many, many centuries. I personally got a lot out of reading a book by Douglas Reed called The Controversy of Zion, which traces a 3,000-year history here. But, but the Illuminati, we can call it Illuminati, although you have many, it's a many-headed monster, that was set up in 1776 in Bavaria, with a plan to take down the world or to bring it into one world government. And, you know, this is almost identical to the Communist Manifesto, which is almost identical with the Protocols of Zion. And we start to see repetition of themes and goals and methodologies. And, of course, controlling the press has always been one of the principal methodologies. So, yeah, if you can hang in with this subject, and I think it is a matter of self-defense, you know, I think we are trying to defend our free will, our nation, our families, our country, our world, from what I would perceive as a very, very dark, almost kind of Brave New World-ish vision. In fact, we've had, you know, I grew up reading 1984 and in the eighth grade and the Brave New World about that time. And these two guys were obviously insiders, especially Aldous Huxley. George Orwell, also, whose real name is Eric Blair, was also an insider. I think he worked for British intelligence. So these guys knew what the plan was, and they were telling us. That's called predictive programming. And,
sure, and they've always told us. They've always given us clues. But the problem is that a lot of people, and you mentioned a term in the beginning of the program, critical thinking, that we don't have enough people doing any kind of critical thinking. And so they can write books all they want, but if people don't read them, if they're too glued to their television set and becoming
right.
Brainwashed and indoctrinated and don't read the books, including the Talmud, we have to know what people are thinking, what they're doing, what they're planning for us. And if we can read what they're writing, then maybe we can get a clue and stop it.
Absolutely. I've also got an article about that, identifying the controllers, and I do a lot of quoting from the Talmud and the Zohar, which are the even more sacred scriptures, according to modern Jews, than the Torah, although they certainly build on the Torah. But, yeah, there's an extremely racist, chauvinistic worldview that there's two kinds of entities in the world. There's the chosen people, and then there's the goyim, or the beasts, or the heathen, or the stranger, or they've got all kinds of names. But basically they say that, you know, it's okay to rob, steal, kill, cheat goyim because they're not really people. And that is the worldview expressed in their most sacred scriptures. It's actually more like a handbook for a mafia or something, you know.
And, of course, it's multi-text. I mean, I think there's like 22 or more volumes to it. But
there's a lot in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if I could, I'll just read a couple of these early statements that I think are very prescient from, again, George Orwell, Aldous Huxley. George Orwell in 1984, of course, he wrote that. He said, if both the past and the external world exist only in the mind, and if the mind itself is controllable, what then? Well, he leaves that rhetorical, but obviously that gives enormous power to the few who can control the mind. And then he says, who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. And this, I think, is, I've seen this with the man-caused global warming hoax. These guys who actually have control of government climate data centers are able to revise the climate data from the early 20th century, make it look a little cooler, and then, of course, they can skew the later 20th century data upwards. So if you control the present, you control the past and the future. So these techniques that were so well expressed, gosh, that was in 1948, he wrote that. We see them all over. And Aldous Huxley, who also, by the way, is a Tavistock agent and Committee of 300, said in 1961, there will be in the next generation or so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire society so that people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution.
Right.
He said that in the United States in 1961. So, and that was just before, of course, the manufactured counterculture of the 60s. By the way, I can throw out some recommended reading here on that. There's a book called Acid Dreams, The Complete Social History of LSD, the CIA, the 60s and Beyond, by Martin Lee and Bruce Schlein. I think that was 84 or 85. And then going, and I can say also that now, 2020 hindsight, we can see that the CIA had tested LSD for, about 12 years at least in this country, rigorously, and realized that it was psychosis producing. They tested it as a warfare drug for an enemy before they, and in combination with the mafia, dumped it en masse and produced it and then dumped it en masse, often producing it, lacing it with much more toxic drugs like STP and BZ on the youth of America in the counterculture movement. So if you ever needed a case example of the CIA as public enemy number one, as trying to destroy this country, read this book. And there's many others that tell the same story, but this one puts it all together.
Okay. Tell us the name of that book again.
Acid Dreams.
Okay.
The Complete Social History of LSD, the CIA, the 60s, and Beyond.
All righty.
So, you know, it's so interesting to realize that our popular culture has been manipulated, and our culture has been manipulated to this extent. In fact, a number of books, one of the earlier ones that came out was Operation Mind Control, the CIA Plot Against America by Walter Bowart. He's a journalist, very, very credible writer, and I think that came out in 76. So most of these things, you know, are after the fact, 2020 hindsight. The book that really blew the lid off of this is by a State Department worker by the name of John Marks, and it's called The Manchurian Candidate. And that was written, I think, in about that time. The Search for the Manchurian Candidate, the CIA and Mind Control, the Secret History of the Behavioral Sciences. So the CIA did not only, underwrite all these programs, they also shaped the direction and the identity of what social sciences were. So social sciences were co-opted by the Illuminati agencies right from the beginning with Pavlov, Pavlov's dog and all that stuff, the Russian scientist. And so what we see then is a malevolent control intent in the behavioral sciences right from the very beginning.
Right. And this was all legitimized by the government through the Psychological Strategy Board, which came about in the early 50s. And
okay.
1951, on July 26, Truman publicly admitted that the Psychological Strategy Board was part of the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah, these are amazing revelations, you know. I mean, the world is not as we perceived it. In fact, here's a great quote from William Casey, who at his first staff meeting, the CIA director at his first staff meeting in 1981 said, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American people believe is false."
Exactly. And he should know, right? He was right on the top.
Yeah, and he was a Wall Street lawyer and banker, too, before that. But so, yeah, you have this merger of financial interests and political and intelligence interests, which is all very proscribed by the Illuminati-type formulas, you know. I mean, it's the elite against everybody
else.
And they use our tax money to keep us in the dark.
Right. And by 1977, at least 400 U.S. journalists and reporters and foreign correspondents were actually employees of the CIA. And so when I watch TV, which I don't do very often, but when I see newscasts or broadcast, you know, programs, Bill O'Reilly, or any of those people, I figure they just all work for the CIA. I think that there are people who work for the CIA who are in the alternative media.
No question about it. I'm convinced that they own people on all sides. You got your left gatekeepers and your right gatekeepers. I'm positive Amy Goodman is a left gatekeeper.
Oh, absolutely.
because of what she does and says about 911 and global warming, amongst other things.
And because of who she is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Well, here's a quote pertaining to the media. William Colby, CIA director, that Central Intelligence owns everyone of any significance in the major media. There you go.
Right.
That's so they are honest sometimes, you know. They do tell you, and of course, what you're talking about is Operation Mockingbird, which was a billion-dollar project to hire and control journalists and professors, which they would pay a professor $100,000 or so to write a book with a certain spin, which, of course, CIA wanted. And then that book, of course, would make its way into libraries around the world.
And to the New York Times bestseller list.
Right, right. And when the Church Committee met in 1976 to try to expose the then 10,000 illegal operations of the CIA, he was not successful in getting the CIA to identify which books and which professors and which journalists were on their payroll. He tried, but he couldn't do it.
Right. And then some of the people that he worked with just all of a sudden died.
Yeah, well, that's out there, too. I mean, there's there is a price to be paid for heroism in some cases, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I think the other thing, too, that has contributed to this situation of mind control and brainwashing is the rise of the so-called religious right, which is a group of people that were just non-political, or, you know, the religious people in this country were not political until abortion became an issue, and then all of a sudden you had this religious right, and they were also the Christian Zionist, and they've had a lot of influence over the government. So it's amazing what kinds of groups, and we're talking about every kind of group, whether you're talking a religious group or whatever you're talking about, there's infiltration. And as far as the Illuminati was a group, and they infiltrated Freemasonry, and the Rothschilds started or formalized the Illuminati. And then they started infiltrating all of these groups early on because they were already established. And then not only that, but they also created the military schools as early as 1802 with West Point so that they could militarize the country. So now we have all these people who are begging to go to war and kill people that they've never met and who have never done anything to us. But they're quite willing to go over and kill them.
Let me just give you a quote about this. This is Marcus Tullius Cicero, 42 B.C. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not as a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Well, infiltration is indeed one of the main techniques used. And it can be your town, can be your city council, it can be all of these organizations that you're talking about. It takes a while to spot it, that's for sure. But I think I've gotten to the point now, after years of reading, where I can spot it. I think you do, too.
I think it's easier to spot the ones that aren't. Let's see. You could count them on probably one hand.
Well, let me just give you a story. In Crestone, Colorado, where I live, the principal of our charter school just quit and wrote a letter to the editor admonishing locals in Crestone to think of people that might want the job. And she says, if you can think of anybody, you know, who is a teacher or an educator or even a change agent in your circle, please let them know about this job. Change agent, of course, is the modern word for spy. So we got them here in Crestone, you know.
Right.
There is no escape, except to, you know, then you have to ask yourself, you know, what is the ratio of regular people to the infiltrators? I'd be interested to hear your guess on that.
Wow. Okay. We'll have to come back to that after our break. Be right back in 3 minutes. Dr. Eric Karlstrom, that's K-A-R-L-S-T-R-O-M, and he does have 5 websites. Are there people who cannot be hypnotized or brainwashed? In your study of these books and such, have you found that people who cannot, who are not vulnerable to this?
Yes. I think everybody's vulnerable to electronic mind control. But I think only about 20% of the population is suggestible in the sense they can be hypnotizable. And, of course, psychiatrists and psychologists have figured out how to identify these people. Again, we have to kind of look at the double focus of Tavistock and the CIA and the controllers. The one mass mind control, the other control of individuals. And they would take the results of, say, how to shatter an individual's mind, and then apply that to the masses. And that goes right back to the beginning of the founding in Tavistock in 1917. Their first charge was to study the shell-shocked soldiers, that's hard to say, during World War I in Britain, and not to cure them, but to figure out how to cause shell shock in the public mind.
And, now, have you found a connection to the veterans, to the people that are now functioning? I won't say serving. I refuse to say serving. Who are now in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places in the Middle East? Can you find a connection to the soul-shattering experiences they have there and what it does to them? In as much as when they come back, they sometimes don't function, or they function at a very low level because of their experiences and because of the pharmaceutical drugs?
Oh, I'm no expert on that. You probably know more about it than I do, but it sounds very, very likely. I think basic training is certainly mind control, a form of mind control. And then what they do to the particular recruits in Afghanistan and Iraq that would enhance that, I'm sure, you know, the video game type kill things, you know. But I don't know. And the drugs, I don't know. Very good question, though. It'd be interesting to explore that.
And just the educational choice and thing. Well, they're not educational. They get people in a certain mindset where you give kids toys that have been developed by the so-called the Pentagon and the entertainment field, which you've mentioned. Where they teach little children how to shoot properly and aim correctly, so that when people get over to Afghanistan or Iraq, or even people who don't go there but are in charge of these drones, can shoot people just without even thinking about it, with no consciousness of the fact that they're shooting and killing actual people.
Yeah, I have no doubt that you're right. Yeah, that sounds very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
Well, you know, Deanna, I wanted to go back to Tavistock for a second. Again, you're talking about the best psychologists in the world and psychiatrists focused in on, you know, how to take down a civilian population. And a guy named Dr. Fred Emery was a senior behavioral scientist, and he outlined 3 phases of, quote, social environmental turbulence that are contrived and implemented against a target population by their social engineers. We'll come back and talk about what those 3 are. But I wanted to talk about that.
We do have to have a 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and this is the second hour of Spinvilla Speaks. Our guest today is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. He is an emeritus professor of geography. He has 5 websites, naturalclimatechange.us, waterwatchalliance.us, 911nwo.com, erickarlstrom.com, and mywebsiteplus.com. All right, you were going to tell us about 3 things.
Yeah, this is Dr. Fred Emery, behavioral scientist at Tavistock. outlining three phases of social environmental turbulence that are actually contrived, that is to say, you know, put together and implemented against a target population by their social engineers. Okay, we have to look at our lives now in these terms. And these three phases are, one, superficiality, in which the threatened population adopts shallow sloganeering in place of ideals. Two, fragmentation and panic, in which, quote, social cohesion falls apart. And number three, passive maladaption, in which victims take, quote, fantasy trips of internal migration, introspection, and obsession with self. This last phase is referred to as, quote, dissociation and self-realization. All of these, okay, so at the individual level and at the group level, what the social engineers, the psychiatrists want to do is cause the individual or the group to dissociate, which is to freak out so that they can't really be present and apply themselves mentally to what's going on. And, of course, 9-1-1 and the Kennedy assassination were perfect examples. We're just all totally in shock, and this is part of the psychological operation. And then Daddy Bush or somebody comes in to reassure us and tell us that, you know, everything's okay if we just go shop again or whatever. So these orchestrated events are directed against the entire domestic population. So we have to look at this as terrorism, really, because what they're trying to do is terrorize and rob the domestic population of their ability to think critically and to think appropriately and to think and to defend themselves. You know, Theodore Herzl, the father of modern Zionism, says anti-Semitism is just self-defense. You know, if you've got a group of people that's trying to destroy you, gosh, maybe, you know, like the Palestinians, for instance, of course you're going to want to preserve your country and your home, et cetera. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with very, very sophisticated ways to neutralize a domestic population, you know, through many different kinds of mind control. But the most extreme forms are like Dr. Ewan Cameron's experiments up at McGill University in the 50s. He was a CIA subcontractor. He was also the head of the American Psychological Association, the Canadian Psychological Association, and the World Psychological Association. And he was a high-level Freemason, and he was a friend of John Rawlings Rees of the Tavistock Institute. So these guys are connected. His goal was to first depattern the mind, which is completely erase it, and number two, rebuild it. So the first phase was called depatterning, and he used massive doses of electroshock, 20 times more than the highest recommended. He used LSD. He used sensory deprivation. He kept people drugged in induced comas for 70 days. He actually succeeded in erasing some of his patients' memories. Now, these patients were unwitting victims. They came in there with minor psychological problems, like one lady had postpartum depression. Well, this lady wound up having her first 26 years of her life erased. Her name was Linda McDonald, and she did eventually sue and get, I don't know, $100,000 from the Canadian government, because it was a Canadian government and CIA joint project. But then the next phase, after he erased the mind, he wanted to reconstitute it with what he called psychic driving. And they would put football helmets on them and play tapes for 18 hours a day, telling them they're no good or they need to do this or whatever. So bottom line, you want to erase
doctor,
the mind.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have to go to a break. Be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. And we were talking about a lot of very, very interesting things. You may call in at 800-313-9443 with your comments or questions. Okay, go ahead and continue from where you left off.
Yeah, I was talking about Dr. Ewan Cameron, who was the head of the American and Canadian and World Psychological Associations, who really is one of these Mengele-type monsters who really set up a chamber of horrors at the Allen Research Institute, which was a branch of the McGill University, actually founded, of course, by the Rockefellers. And, you know, and you get back to the same old, the Macy Foundation, the Geschicker Foundation, all these foundations are helping fund these things that go back to the same individual. But again, what his goal was, and this is stated in some of the sub-projects for MK Ultra, MK coming from mind control from the German, because we inherited these things from the Nazis. No question about this. There's so many papers that talk about what actually happened in the concentration camps.
Who wrote those papers?
Here's one, Project Monarch, Nazi Mind Control by Ron Patton.
Who?
Ron Patton. I would highly recommend you could Google it. It really gives the evolution of the Project MK Ultra, and it talks about how we inherited Paperclip.
Now, you've been talking about Tavistock and that it was created in 1917 and that most of the mind control techniques came from Tavistock. We also know that the U.S. government had a program similar to that during World War I, and now you're trying to say that it all was generated from the Nazis? Come on.
No, my point here is that the Illuminati have infiltrated a number of governments, most principally England, United States, Germany, and Soviet Union. Here's right out of Ron Patton's book or article. In the 19th century, Great Britain and Germany were recognized as the primary geographic areas of Illuminati control.
The Illuminati was destroyed in Bavaria before they even got a chance to take a foothold.
Well, if you let me finish,
okay.
I think I can elaborate. It should be a little surprise to know the first work in behavioral science research was established in England in 1882, while much of the early medical and psychiatric techniques involved in mind control were pioneered at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Germany. The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations was set up in London in 1921 to study the breaking point of humans. Kurt Lewin, a German psychologist, became the director of Tavistock in 1932. That's after he left the Frankfurt School in Germany. About the time the Nazi Germany was increasing its research into neuropsychology, parapsychology, and multi-generational occultism. Interestingly, a progressive exchange of scientific ideas was taking place between England and Germany, most notably in the field of eugenics, the movement devoted to improving the human species through the control of hereditary factors in mating. The nefariously enigmatic union between the two countries was bonded partly through the Order of the Golden Dawn, a secret society which consisted of many high-ranking officials in the Nazi Party and British aristocracy. So I totally see that the upper levels of the Nazis and the Brits were working together, and I can almost see the guys in the smoke-filled room saying, okay, America's going to win this war, and then we're going to set up a Cold War with Russia, you know, because Dulles' moves back in World War I and World War II.
Wait a minute. Who funded the Kaiser Institute in Germany? Was it not Rockefeller?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So
what I'm saying at the top levels, they're all in it together. And Mengele was the Auschwitz angel of death. He was brought over here.
No. Mengele did not do what the Allies said he did.
Oh, he did, and he did it over here. He came over here under Operation Paperclip.
I don't think you can prove that.
Well, this is what the case is made in Carol Ruiz's book.
Kurt Lewin was Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a book called The Nation Betrayed.
That kind of puts a bias there, right?
What's that?
That makes the work biased. Most of the stuff that has come out talking about how the Nazis did this and the Nazis did that were written by Jewish authors. Including the one that claims that that the United States, certain entities in the United States, funded Hitler. And if you read other books, they say the exact opposite. But if you read what the Jews say, and they have they certainly have a dog in the fight, then it's they blame him for everything. They blame the Nazis for everything.
But well, you know, it's you're right. It's very difficult to understand, and you could be right. But I've got a book here called Adolf Hitler, Founder of Israel. And it could be
You know what? The first opening sentence in that tells a big lie. The opening sentence, before you even get into the book, tells a big fat lie. And if you talk to certain Jews themselves, they will tell you that these things in that book are not true. And the Zionist movement, to begin with, started in 1880 or earlier. So how could he have been the founder of Israel, particularly since it was the Balfour Declaration that generated the settlement of Palestine by the Jews?
What I'm suggesting, and obviously you've done a lot of research on this and come to a different conclusion, but what I'm suggesting is that the Nazis and the Zionists at the top levels were always in collusion, and the Zionists needed Hitler to drive Jews out of Germany and elsewhere in Europe.
The desire to get the Jews out of Germany started way, way before Hitler. It started in about the 1870s, and along with 70 plus other countries, they kicked the Jews out at least 109 times. So Germany was certainly not an anomaly in that respect. And yes, of course they wanted to get the Jews out of Germany because the Jews, the international Jewry, waged warfare in the spring of 1933 against Germany, and it was an economic war. And so these people, it would be the same as if an entity came into the United States and then just all of a sudden declared warfare against us. Germany was the very, very first country that emancipated their Jews, allowed them to have some autonomy in the country, allowed them to engage in certain occupations. They allowed them the freedoms that they were not allowed in other countries. And that's how they got paid. But certainly this is not, you know, the topic of the conversation today. So,
well, if you'll, and I appreciate where you're coming from, but what I'm doing is trying to trace the mind control. And from the reading that I've done, it comes from the Illuminati families a long time ago. In fact, it goes back to the Egyptian Book of the Dead and occultists and people who want to create zombie slaves, and they had understanding of how these techniques were used, thousands of years ago. Drugs, hypnosis. All we've done in the past century or so is refine the methods that were used in occult groups. But apparently, and of course, there was the occultic tool society orientation of some of the top Nazi people. From what I'm reading, a lot of what was going on in the concentration camps with a number of the German scientists was experiments to make a master race
They were never about making a master race. The only people that have ever been about making a master race are the Jews. Okay.
Well, I guess you and I are just going to have to disagree. I think somehow or another the Nazis got co-opted into that same mindset. And okay. I think going back to Ewan Cameron, he was one of the North American psychiatrists who served at the Nuremberg trials. He would have had access to all the experimental data
Those were staged. Those trials were all staged. I mean, if you've read any of the books from people who actually were there, a lot of the judges that were sent over there to act as legal counsel and whatever, they thought that was the worst thing that the United States had ever been involved with. Of course, you had allies, you had the Soviets, who were sitting in judgment on the people who lost the war, and the Soviets had killed millions of people at that time. And they blamed a lot of things that they had done, including the slaughter in the Katyn Forest, on the Germans. So what else did they blame on them?
Well, I think you have a soft spot in your heart for the people of Germany. I have a soft spot in my heart for the people of Germany too. But I think they were all kind of corralled into a world war that they didn't want to have, just like the United States and British and Soviets. All these people are corralled into wars that the elite want them to fight. So I think what we're trying to find out is who are the elite and how have they functioned and what have they done. And in my research into mind control, the Nazi precedes the American. And, in fact, you had a number of Nazi scientists imported into this country during Operation Paperclip.
Well, they had no choice. It was either we're going to kill your family. Well, not only did they import the scientists and all the other assets from Germany, I mean, they imported some thousands upon thousands of patents, which they then shared with well-connected corporations. And they also brought all the scientists over. They were not going to leave Germany any kind of asset, whether you're talking human asset or patent asset or resources or anything else. They were going to make Germany an agricultural country and kill 2/3 of the population. Have you read the Morgenthau Plan?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to a break. We'll be right back. Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and I'm sorry, but we've got callers that have been hanging on for quite some time, so we should.
Can I just say a word first, Deanna?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we had a disagreement about the role of the Nazis in this, and I think it brings up the question of what books can you believe and what books can't you believe. Because
exactly.
I'm getting my information from some books, and you're getting your information from other books. And that shows you how tricky it is.
I read both kinds and draw my own conclusions based on history and based on what their objectives are and what has happened since then and who's running the world. It certainly isn't the Nazis, okay? All right, let's take the caller. Let's take Richard from Washington.
Good afternoon. This is a good show to bring it all together because the doctor's right on the right track. To really learn, you've got to study history and go back to civilization cycles. That's why I recommended Why Nations Fail. When you study these long-term cycles, you find there's one overlapping theme. That's the transition from the tribal mentality to the herd mentality. And the tribe, they worked in harmony with the resources, and the herd, they exhausted their resources, collapse with Jared Diamond. So when you look at the population curve, when we had the Black Plague, we dipped a little bit, but ever since then it's been asymptotic. And so what I call the inbreeding sociopathic tribe maintained their tribe mentality, and they've been trying to subvert the herd mentality ever since. And they used religion, Caesar's Messiah, when they created the three religions so they could divide and conquer the world. And they used mid-management, the military, the clergy, the intelligentsia, to use, as Carol Quigley calls, the hidden hand to essentially destroy 90% of the population. That's the agenda. We've got to get rid of the population from their perspective because it's their earth. That's their understanding. That's why they're sociopathic. And before they do that, they want to use the 90% remaining to gather all the resources so they can have them available when they come out of their total destruction. And let's see how they do it. Well, what do we do? How do we eliminate a cancer? The humans are a cancer on the earth. Well, the medical establishment says we got to poison them, chemotherapy, we got to cut, surgery, we got to irradiate it. What are they doing to us? Chemtrails. That's the chemotherapy. War. That's the surgery. And the solar cycles and the nuclear plant destructions, that's the radiations that's going to kill the 90%. Hey, we're right on program. It's going great.
Depends
that's
on
extremely
whose side
well
you're on,
said. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Doctor, you want to comment?
No, I really appreciate the comment. You kind of moved it up a notch to a kind of a generality of history, the tribal versus the herd. And yeah, this tribal god that they believe has chosen them, or in their own writings, they might say or might admit, no, actually, we made him up, so we're him, we're the god. You know, by the way, we're gods. And then it gets into the occult and black magic and whatever you can use to win, because it's a war, and it's a war of the infiltrators against the host, the parasites against the host. And I agree with that. I totally agree. Now, your very last comment to the guest was that the solar cycle and something else was going to finish it off. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, the elimination of the nuclear power plants. They put them all over the world, and they're starting to irradiate the whole world because of them. Fukushima is a classic example. Chernobyl. I mean, they're using all the things that the medical establishment tries to get us on a individual perspective in the herd perspective. And like you said, the programming, the mental programming. the only people that applies to are people that have lost their integrity as free individuals and have eliminated choice and become part of the herd, as we talked about in yesterday's program. The last remaining people are the outlaws, like the Mexican illegals or essentially the quote-unquote criminals that are going against the system. That's the last hope, and those are the people that don't want to be the slaves for the New World Order. And that's just a diversion. That's just something to keep us distracted. It's really the inbreeding sociopathic tribe essentially eliminating the 90% of us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that insight. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, read Why Nations Fail. You get the big cycles that are happening since the Spanish and the English, and you take it out of the small cycles of German, which I told Deanna was just another pump and dump, which is the classic economical model for how they get rid of us. Have a great program. Glad to contribute.
Why Nations Fail? Who wrote that book?
Acemoglu, Acemoglu, and Robinson, James Robinson. Real good. The subtitle is The Origins of Power, Prosperity, and Poverty. And then, you know, The Parable of the Tribes is another excellent book, even though I'm not
too...
All
right, yeah. I've got that one.
Okay, yeah. I'm not too thrilled with this kind of conclusionary thing because it kind of goes with you about the Holocaust, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, leading there, the first three quarters is great.
Yes, indeed. Okay, thanks, Richard.
Appreciate have a great program.
Thank you, Richard. That was great. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what were we talking about? You were talking about an argument that we were having. We weren't arguing. We were just discussing
Well,
stuff.
I appreciate that we can differ, you know, what I was saying is, yes, in the light of the fact of, say, Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA is paying all these professors to write all these books, what can we trust, you know?
Exactly.
And that becomes a big question.
Come back. Let's talk about that when we come back. Okay, be right back in 3 minutes. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. He's got five websites. Now, you said that I have a soft spot in my heart for Germany. No, I have a soft spot in my heart for truth. And just because people assume that the cabal has co-opted most governments does not mean that they have co-opted all of them. Now, right before the break, you said, okay, it depends on which books you read. And I prefer to read both, and then I draw my own conclusions. But then you also have to ask yourself, okay, what books are getting the most media attention? What books or what host or what network, what television programs promote the illusion of history that we have been fed by our government schools? Which books, as I said, which books get the most media attention? Or which authors get the most media attention? For instance, if you talk about 9/11, which personalities associated with 9/11 get to be on Fox, and which ones are vilified? The people who are vilified, the countries that are vilified, or the leaders who are vilified, and we can go, Hitler, Gaddafi, or whomever, you have to say, well, why are they getting all this media vilification, and who owns the media? And you can also apply that to religion. Richard said, well, the Jews or whomever, the cabal, has created all three religions. Well, which religion is being slandered now? And what do we have at the White House? Do we have a manger scene or do we have a menorah? I think that if you ask these kinds of questions, you kind of come up with some legitimate answers. And what version of history do we have? Are we being fed? Instead of looking at the other side, we need to say, okay, what history are we being fed? Who destroyed 35, almost 36,000 titles in Germany that covered all of their literature, their textbooks between 1933 and 1945. Must have been it was the Allies. They pulped all that history. And they staged the trials. And of course the winners, you're always going to get the winner's side of the history. You're always going to get their version of what happened. And you mentioned before that they pay all of these college professors to write all of these books. Well, what do you think they're writing about? And you mentioned the one book, you mentioned, Founder of Israel. The first thing that they says, and this was written by Cardell, no first name, but it was written by Cardell. And the first claim that he makes is, typical signs of Jewish features are eyes are usually shiny and both eyelids are heavy and swollen. The limp bag under the eyes is usually fuller and stands out more than on Gentiles. He is trying to say that Adolf Hitler, with high probability, is a grandson of a Jew, Frankenberger. Well, that has been proven time and time again to be false. And if you're going to open your book with an apparent falsehood, then what good is the rest of your book? What statements in the rest of your book can you believe it are valid? I've gone through this book.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it's a bunch of garbage. So
a book that I have used. Okay. I'll mention three books by quote unquote mind control victims, severe mind control victims. One, Carol Rutt's A Nation Betrayed, The Chilling True Story of Secret Cold War Experiments Performed on Our Children and Other Innocent People. Okay, she goes into tracing Mengele's activities here. Then Transformation of America, The True Life Story of a CIA Mind Control Slave by Kathy O'Brien with Mark Phillips. Well, it turns out Mark Phillips is a ex-CIA guy who became her handler. So you don't know exactly if you can believe everything in that one. And then there's Bryce Taylor's Thanks for the Memories. And she talks about Bob Hope and Henry Kissinger as being amongst her main handlers. Now, is it possible that all three of these books are disinformation? There's a lot of parallels in them. And what they experienced indeed seem to be the kinds of things that are talked about in the MK Ultra experiments. So, you know, again, I think we do need to be critical. I think we need to weigh the evidence. We need to read a lot. But going back to your earlier question, there is an article. Okay, it's in theexaminer.com. Okay, you may have some prejudice about the Examiner, right? But it is, was Newtown shooter mind controlled? CIA documents give evidence. Okay, this guy Fred Burks on December 19th of 2012 then take statements out of these MK Ultra documents, which were released. Ten boxes were released under Freedom of Information Act to John Marks in about 1975 or something like that. That's after the CIA director, what's his name? Escapes me at the moment.
Casey or Colby?
Helms. It's after Helms destroyed all of the MK Ultra files that he could find, but apparently there were 10 boxes left in the financial records department. And so John Marks got heavily redacted versions of these documents, whited out, in other words, with names missing. But then he got a ACLU group with him and hired some other people, and they filed all these things, and they traced down who they thought was who, which scientist was which scientist. Okay, that's 10 boxes. Well, shortly thereafter, by 1977, the CIA said, well, gee, now we got 130 boxes full of documents, but guess what? We're not going to give them to you because Freedom of Information Act does not apply to us. Okay, so ever since those documents were released in 75, there's been a complete blackout of pertinent government documents regarding mind control. And so most of the books that you find are about those 10 boxes of documents, which are well established. Mm-hmm. But then if you want to get what's going on now, then this is the subject of another quite a few interviews. There's a book called Project Soul Catcher, Volume 2, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed. Now, again, we're talking about the electronics. We're talking about non-lethal weapons. We're talking about directed energy. We're talking about psychotronics, mind control. Electrical stimulation of the brain was an early term. But these technologies have been out there. In fact, I'll make the case that, okay, Tavistock said these are the three things we need to do to take down a domestic population. I would say they did that. That was the goal in the Kennedy and Kennedy and King assassinations. And the Kennedy and Kennedy and King assassinations used Manchurian candidates, people who were mind-controlled, to either be the patsies and or do the shooting. So you have in the 60s then complete application of how you do mind control for individuals, that is the patsies or the assassins, the Manchurian candidates themselves, and target the domestic population. So I don't think you can understand the 60s unless you understand mind control a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can get a little bit more detailed there and say that there's a book by, and again, this is a pseudonym, so how do we trust him? I don't know. Lincoln Lawrence, 1967, Were We Controlled? The Assassination of President Kennedy. And he talks about the quote-unquote Wall Street rumor. And now, have you ever heard of the Wall Street rumor? Probably not, because it didn't seem to get any press. But the Wall Street rumor was that there was an incredible profit-taking on that day in the commodities market that was timed perfectly with the assassination, much like we saw in 9-1-1, where there was enormous profit-taking because there was insider knowledge as to that particular crime. But the technologies used were all of them. It was the media. It was the electronic mind control. And he goes into this in his 1967 book. He talks about what the technologies are. So it's, and they excuse me, they are RHIC, radio hypnotic intracerebral control, and EDM, electronic dissolution of memory. These were available by 1960 to the intelligence agencies. So RHIC is a tool for control of individual human behavior that involves the application of post-hypnotic suggestion triggered by radio transmission. So it's a combination of hypnosis and then triggering by radio transmission. And then EDM allows controllers to actually erase part of the memory or erase time for a minute or half a minute or something like that. It causes an illusionary distortion of memory that destroys one's time orientation. So a Manchurian candidate could actually kill somebody and not even remember it.
Oh, absolutely.
Under this programming. So this was a book written in 1967. I certainly never heard about it until just last year when I bought it for an inflated price on Amazon, used. And, you know, there's probably not that many copies in the country anymore. I got it from a library, a Three Rivers Junior College Library, Polar Bluff, it looks like Missouri.
Right.
So anyway, the technology of electronic mind control has been with us since 1960 and probably explains what happened. In fact, in the book by Ross, Colin Ross, Project Bluebird, he's a doctor, psychiatrist, and he's head of the
–
he mentions Manchurian candidates, and he talks about Sirhan and Chapman.
Sirhan does not remember that at all, but it's very interesting that what he saw – was the woman with the polka dot dress, and they use certain fabric patterns to initiate activities that they have instructed the person to do. So yeah, it's all very interesting. But we do have another caller. Why don't we take another caller? All right, let's take Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, welcome to the program.
This is a really good program, Deanna.
I'm enjoying it tremendously.
You guys are touching on the basics of where we get our information. And everybody would agree that a person's judgment is based on their information. And if our information is bogus or false or comes from the enemy, how in the heck can any person ever be sure of anything? We're all, like, to a certain extent, Manchurian candidates.
Well, it depends on if you use critical thinking skills. And if you
if you know
something about what is happening to you, then you can make a choice about whether or not you're going to sit in front of a TV for 10 hours a day and soak all that garbage in.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all about choice, personal responsibility, and using critical thinking.
But, and related to what you see going on outside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree with the comment. I'm 63, and I think, you know, just looking at my life, you know, you're totally bewildered and confused about what in the world's going on. I lived through the 60s, so that was especially confusing. But I don't think you could even possibly hope to get an understanding of the bigger picture, you know, until later in your career, if you're lucky. And I was a professor, and I had time to read and things like that. Most people, I think, are so busy, you know, making ends meet, et cetera, that they're going to have to take what information is fed to them as true. And so, in a sense, this is the matrix of disinformation that William Casey's talking about, so that people don't have a clue as to what's happening, because they're so put off guard by this false constructed reality, virtual reality, really.
That's what makes this a good show, because you are talking about something deeper than what I normally hear. So I'll let you two get back at it.
Well,
thank you very much
for your phone call, Joel. Appreciate it.
In relation to that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you get a lot on the Internet, and again, you have to use your BS filters. Here's one, meta-research, Jewish a priori junk science. And he's going back through history and saying, gee, Sir Francis Bacon, who's, of course, the British advocate for science, and I would have studied him in college, as most others would have, that he says he was of that particular group. Of course, Karl Marx was, as well as being a Satanist. He's got others in here, Albert Einstein, B.F. Skinner, David Wechsler, and that, in a sense, because of the media ownership, these people are elevated to positions of great respect and authority, and maybe their ideas aren't that all that great, you know. So to reinterpret the matrix, for instance, University of Chicago, Robert Hutchins puts out a series of books called The Great Books, and my dad had that, and my uncle, and they both were at the University of Chicago. Well, University of Chicago is supported by the Rockefellers, and Hutchison, a lot of the great books are guys like Marx, Freud, et cetera, who are, you know, definitely of this particular, shall we say, tribal group.
Right, and you also have to look at Freud and his nephew, Edward Bernays, who was the PR, the initiator of PR here in this country, and learned how to manipulate whole populations, get them to smoke or buy a particular product or think a particular thing. And he got most of his information on technique about how to persuade the population from his uncle. And his uncle actually fell into the psychiatric business because of the death of one of their of a mutual friend when he was in medical school, and discovered that if you talk to people a certain way, particularly when they're grieving, that you can persuade them to do a lot of different things, and you allow people to abandon their values by saying, oh, well, you know, everybody feels like that, or it's okay to have those feelings. Go ahead and participate in those feelings. Go ahead and accept them. You're okay. So, and he also realized that you can make a fortune by doing that. So.
Right. Yeah, well, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the 60s, it turns out each of those elements was encouraged from on high and in fact, delivered to us.
Yes, indeed. All righty, we do have our last break. We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. This is Deanna, Our guest today has been Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and he has five websites, naturalclimatechange.us, waterwatchalliance.us, 911nwo.com, ericcarlstrom.com, and my website, plus.com. All righty, we've got just about 3 minutes left, so I have certainly enjoyed our visit today.
Well, me too. Thank you very much for having me, Deanna. This is such an important topic, and I'm glad to hear you're all over it, you know, and I'm glad to talk about these things. I think they're so important.
Oh, particularly since the Sandy Hook situation.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, we watch it in our daily lives, and of course it's done, orchestrated to a point, which is, again, gun control and problem, reaction, solution, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. But I could just real quick read off of this. It says 10 modern methods of mind control. I think we need to be aware of all of them. Education, advertising and propaganda, predictive programming, as in movies that tell you how the controllers want things to be. Sports, politics, and religion can be used in that way. Food, water, and air pollution can be used towards that end. Drugs, certainly, as we've talked about. Military testing, as you mentioned. The electronic spectrum gets into psychotronics and electronic mind control. And then television, computer, and like you said, the flicker rate, it can be one. And then in the future, hopefully not, but it says nanobots, science fiction horror directly to the modern brain. The nanobots are on the way. Direct brain modification already has been packaged as neuroengineering. And this could then change the way people think. And, of course, they're talking about chipping people, and it gets into the whole issue of transhumanism or cybernetics, the combination of humans and machines. Again, the goal is to take the non-worthy 90% or whatever, 95% of us, turn us into, erase our brains, make us dissociative and then suggestible and then controllable and then use us either to perform some function as in a robot or a slave or for elimination. So I think this stuff needs to be taken very seriously. We need to look at the who and the how and the why. And I think we did a pretty good job today.
Oh, absolutely. We have one more question from the chat room. What do you think about the Schofield brainwashing operation? The CI is Christian Identity.
I think maybe I don't know as much about that as you do. I've heard, you mentioned something about the far Christian right being manipulated, and I have no doubt that it's true. I've heard about the fellowship or the brotherhood or whatever. But I think that, well, let me just say that guys like Dr. Jalen West of UCLA did a lot of work with all the drugs and all the different kinds of mind control and then really focused in on the work of destructive cults and controlling people through destructive cults. Supposedly there's over 5,000 in this country right now, and people can be victimized by them. Smart people can be taken in like they were with the Bhagwan Rajneesh in Oregon. And so, again, beware.
Exactly.
This is a way to control people. Yeah.
We have run out of time. It's been wonderful having you on the program, and let's do this again.
I'd love to. Thanks very much, Deanna. It's a very important topic.
All right.
Have a good one,
care.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you on Monday.